17. Steris had been doing a good job lately, she thought, of understanding other people. Once, she'd assumed they had the same worries she did, but hid their anxiety extremely well. As she'd grown older, she'd come to understand something more incredible. They just didn't feel that anxiety. They didn't have a constant hovering worry in the back of their brain, whispering they'd forgotten something important. They didn't spend hours thinking about the mistakes they'd made and how they could have planned better. They lived in a perpetual state between blessed contentment and frightening ignorance. Then she'd grown even older. She'd married Waxillium. She'd made friends, real ones, and had come to see more clearly. Everyone saw the world differently. And the survivor had made people to complement one another. Metal and alloy, a push for every pull. The others responded to the explosion below with a strange excitement and eagerness, practically racing one another to the door. But what if the steps were destabilized? Steris had a whole list of protocols to follow if there was an explosion in the lab. She'd spent 3 nights developing it. She loved them, and so she wanted to cry out a warning, hold them back safe, forbid them from risking themselves. She also knew how extreme she got sometimes. That was the biggest revelation of recent years, helped by discussions with the women of her book group. Some of her preparations went beyond helpful. Understanding that line was vital to understanding herself. And she had to admit, today the others showed some wisdom. They let Vendel go first, at her suggestion, since a fall wouldn't hurt him. Wax went next, since he could more or less fly if the steps collapsed. They hesitated at the bottom of the stairs, in case anything further was going to blow, before they opened the reinforced door.
"Wait," Steris said, then dug in her handbag. "Masks."
She distributed the cloth masks to everyone, even Alec, since a wooden one wouldn't filter the air for him. They took the masks absently, or maybe even with a bit of an eye roll, all except Wax, who smiled at her as he put his on. He liked her preparations. He found it endearing. But beyond that, he appreciated it. He thought she was useful, not persnickety. "Anything on your watch list for explosions?" he asked. She felt warm as she dug out her book of home emergencies. Yes, she knew she could be extreme. At the same time, making these was therapeutic. Her fears eased once she wrote them down. If she'd thought of something, cataloged it, and considered it, then it stopped having power over her. She had power over it.
"Acids on the floor," she noted. "Those could mix to produce poisonous fumes. Glass shards, secondary explosions, particularly from exposed harmonium. Those are my big fears."
He considered.
"Mercy," he said as she pushed open the door. "I was testing with hydrochloric and hypochlorous acids."
"Which means?"
"Chlorine gas," he said.
Vendel grabbed Mercy's arm. Chondra had a thing about acids. To Steris's surprise, they listened to her. Since the powerful ventilators installed in the basement weren't working, they let her fetch a room fan and set it up. Then they all returned up the steps and stood outside the mansion to allow the place to ventilate. When they went back down, everyone wore their masks without complaint and let her test the air with a kit. From there, they were careful where they stepped as they inspected the room. The door to the safe box had taken a little jaunt across the room and was now embedded deep into the thick concrete to the far wall. The steel of the box itself had been mangled beyond repair. And the rest of the room? Well, it appeared that she'd have to put in an order for a new spectroscope, and a centrifuge, and some more flasks, and, new walls. She resisted her urge to begin sweeping the glass to avert the hazard of stepping on it. Instead, she stuck near Waxillium. He might discover something interesting.
"Rusts," he said, walking over to the remnants of the safe box. "This thing survived harmonium detonations of up to 3 ounces. I used less than a tenth of that in this experiment.
He reached for the top of what remained of the box. Steris wagged a glove in front of him.
Right, he said, slipping it on, then feeling around the top of the broken steel box.
His hand came away dusted with some black shavings, a fine metal powder. Vendel walked up beside them. Maracy was inspecting the safe box's door, while Alec had fetched a broom from above and was sweeping up the glass. Steris had already liked him, of course, primarily because of how he treated her sister. But in that moment, her estimation of him went up another notch.
We need to test these shavings, Wax said. But I don't think this is either ATM or Liracium. It looks like remnants of iron from the equipment.
Steris gathered them in some specimen pouches anyway. Waxillium leaned into the broken box on the wall, then used a small file from his pocket to harvest something smoldering inside.
Harmonium, he said, as Steris dug out an extra vial of oil for him to put it into. Plastered across the back of the box. I think the experiment failed. It didn't divide.
Actually, Vendel said, I think you managed something far, far more dangerous.
He took out a little notebook.
How much harmonium did you use in here? A few grams?
About half a gram.
This explosive force, Vendel said, this level of destruction from such a small sample, it's possible, but only if...
What? Wax said.
This explosion was not caused by the division of the metals, Vendel said. This level of energy release could happen only if some of the investiture or the matter itself was transformed into energy.
He seemed to notice their confusion, so he continued.
I believe I've lectured you at length about the nature of investiture. It is a particular study of mine, along with my foremost expertise on skulls.
Not for sale, Wax reminded him.
Mine is, Steris said. Both looked at her. Why would I need it when I'm dead? She asked. Seems much better to have the money now.
As I always say, Vendel replied, your impermanence is outlived by the beautiful internal shells you create. Like sand medallions from the ocean, so are the bones of the human being, a lasting testimony of your presence on Skadril. We shall discuss the terms of your sale at a later date, Lady Ladrian. For now, let me be brief. Everything in the Cosmere is made up of one of three essences. The first is matter, the physical substances around you, formed of Axi, the smallest possible thing we know.
There are things that aren't matter? Steris asked.
Of course, he said. There's energy.
He waved to the ceiling, where two of the room's recessed and reinforced lights were still working.
Electricity, heat, light. Your kind has been harnessing it quite well lately. Good for you. Very modern.
And the third? Wax asked.
Investiture, Vendel said. The essence of the gods. Everything has an invested component, normally inaccessible without certain abilities. When you burn metals, Lord Ladrian, you pull investiture directly from the spiritual realm and use it to do work, much like energy does work in those lights. But here is the key idea. Investiture, matter, and energy are all the same, fundamentally.
I felt that once, Waxillium said, expression distant. When I held the bands, that all things were one substance.
Indeed, Vendel replied, and states can change from one to the other. Energy can become investiture. This is the soul of ferrochemy. Investiture can become matter. That is where harmonium comes from, and matter can become energy.
And an example of that is, Steris said. Vendel nodded to the destroyed room.
We just witnessed it, I believe.
There is an incredible amount of energy trapped inside matter. You managed to release some of it. Only a small amount of what you put in that box, but still, if you found a way to release its full potential, well, Harmony says the destructive power of it frightens him. Deeply.
It should, Waxelium said, because this was easy to accomplish. Far too easy.
Well, Vendel said, it does require two very rare substances and a great deal of energy, correct?
A great deal, he admitted, for so small a sample. It would take quite a bit of electricity to scale this up. But the destructive potential...
Agreed. Vendel's skin had gone, not just pale, but actually translucent. I should report this. If you don't mind, I'll be upstairs communing with Harmony. Excuse me.
Waxelium shot Steris a look.
Worst case, he asked.
She considered. What was the worst thing that could happen? It seemed obvious to her.
What if the set already knows about this? She asked. Mercy said the dying man mentioned returning ash to the basin. Maybe they plan to use bombs?
Wax nodded, grim. He'd considered the same thing.
If the set has discovered this interaction, she said, then it was likely by accident or through an experiment like ours. There might be a record of it.
We could search for unexplained explosions in the outer cities, Wax said. Smart. Ashes. What if an explosive like this were placed in one of the old ash mounts? Could they be restarted?
That sounds appropriately terrifying, Steris said, feeling a deep nausea. How had she never considered that possibility? Looked like she had some planning to worry about, but first things first. I'll order broadsheets from the outer cities from the library and have them delivered to the penthouse. We can start there.
Wax nodded.
With Mercy's authority, you should be able to access the constabulary records, too.
It was an excellent suggestion. Steris walked to the back of the room, passing Alec, who had found some remnants of his biscuits splattered on the wall, and stepped up to Mercy. It had been pleasant spending more time with her lately. Their childhood hadn't always encouraged sisterly affection. Their father, who was now retired to a country estate, had been embarrassed by Mercy's illegitimate status. Steris had always worried Mercy would see it as a flaw in herself rather than in their father. Mercy seemed lost in thought, though what she found fascinating about the broken door was beyond Steris. However, she stayed quiet, not wishing to interrupt. Silence didn't bother Steris. It was a purely neutral experience.
The world's changing so fast, Mercy finally whispered. I'm barely accustomed to electric lights, let alone the airships. Then there's this god from another world. Now an explosive, a pinch of which can destroy a room. I'm worried too, Steris said. I wish recent events had been possible to anticipate. Makes me wonder, Mercy said, why I'm spending my time on murder cases and basic crimes. I realize they are important, but there are people out there, Steris, who know about it all, who are making moves that change the fates of planets. They have no oversight, so far as I can tell. They're probably happy to see us chasing down ordinary criminals and leaving them alone. That's why you hunt the set, Steris said, nodding. Why you've devoted so much to them, when most in the precinct think you're going a little overboard.
Mercy chuckled.
Runs in the family, I guess.
Steris smiled, then felt foolish as Mercy wouldn't be able to see it behind her face mask. Before Steris could say something, however, Waxelium blew himself up. It was a much smaller detonation, fortunately, but it was forceful enough to throw him back and drop him to the ground. Steris ran over, worried, and found him dazed, but relatively unharmed. He took her arm as he sat up, shaking his head, his nice vest, a Versuli no less, ripped and charred.
The apron she'd provided had protected it somewhat. He brushed himself off. Though he didn't like to admit it, he was getting older. Being exploded when you were 20 was far different from being exploded when you were 50.
So, he said to her, you mentioned something about secondary explosions?
It was on my list, she whispered.
It's all right, he said, patting her hand. I feel fine. I just did something stupid. I was gathering that harmonium plastered against the back of the safe box. It's too valuable to leave, and it must have reacted to the air or some liquid left from an earlier experiment.
He sneezed, then smiled at her reassuringly. His mask was nowhere to be seen. It must have blown free in the explosion. She hid her worry for him. Upon marrying Waxillium Ladrian, there was one thing she had vowed to herself. She wouldn't stop fretting about him, but she would not prevent him from being the person he wanted to be. Each time he decided on an investigation, it terrified her. She did not let that control how she treated him. She would not be an obstacle. She loved him too much for that. Instead, she did her best to be part of his world. It was far less frightening to be shot at than to sit at home wondering if he was being shot at. It was to her eternal gratification that he, in turn, tried to be part of her world, taking more interest in politics, spending time with her doing the finances. They fit together better than she'd ever dreamed they would, and she still felt warm every time they touched.
Let's get some tea, Wax said, climbing to his feet with her help, and talk this over.